Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Well, hello, fellow Culturati. Here we go again with another week and another show. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley, right here on the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. Make sure you visit the website. It's travelingculturati.com. Go ahead and check it out. Today, Laurel Howard is guest hosting with me, and we're going to help you take that much-needed vacation. We're talking about budgeting for your vacation. Don't fight it. We're going to show you how to take charge and take vacation. We've also got Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. And you don't want to miss any of it. But right now, I've got some travel news. TSA says finders keepers, losers weepers. TSA has recently collected a grand total of $765,759.15 in loose change left behind by travelers passing through security. In case you're wondering if this is legal, well, it is. Congress passed a law in 2005 legalizing this practice, as long as the TSA financial office counts the change. In other words, it can't go into the pocket of any TSA agent. USA Today reports some airports have come up with creative solutions to prevent passengers' loose change from ending up with TSA. For example, Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport installed change kiosks for passengers to donate loose change while the city hosted the Super Bowl, and the change went to the airport's USO services and lounge. Denver International Airport has been collecting change since 2013. The money goes to Denver's Road Home, a program that helps the city's homeless. Well, kudos to those airports who are putting customers' change to good use. But the big question here is, what is TSA doing with all that loose change? Well, that remains to be answered. Lawmakers in charge of divvying up federal dollars have yet to lay out their own proposals for funding the agency next year. This leaves the president's fiscal 2017 budget request of $7.6 billion for TSA the only one on the table so far. Due to the constrained budget, security line wait times at airports around the country are expected to dramatically increase this summer. And according to Ross Feinstein of American Airlines, currently at LAX, lines are going out the door to a completely different terminal. The staff model doesn't work right now. Aviation insiders as well as lawmakers are concerned about this budgetary crunch. The increasingly disruptive wait times may prod Congress to up appropriations for the TSA. It seems pretty evident that this situation needs to be resolved. Stealth might be good when talking security, but not when talking appropriations. Maybe they can use some of that loose change toward the budget. U.S. airline profits are at record levels as fees increase. Change fees and bag fees play a huge role in generating profit for major U.S. airlines. During the past 6 years, all of the major passenger airlines in the U.S. have recorded profit after tax. This nearly doubles their pre-tax operating profit from $14.6 billion in 2014 to $31 billion in 2015. $3 billion of the profit was obtained by change fees alone. In 2015, American Airlines and U.S. Airways reported earning $1.1 million from bag fees and change fees. Delta Airlines came in second place, earning $875,000. While United Airlines positioned themselves in third place, earning $249,000 said fees. Reporter Andrew Shivakman made a great point, stating that airlines are reporting major profit. It's time for them to reward passengers with a better onboard experience, with more route options. And I agree with an additional request for more legroom and better food. American Airlines have employed celebrity chefs to elevate its in-flight meals beyond peanuts and pretzels. The team consists of Italian food specialist Julian Barsotti, along with Hawaiian chef Sam Choi, Michelin star UK chef Mark Sargent, and Chopped judge and chef Manette Shahan. Shahan is responsible for the premium cabin menus on U.S. outbound flights. Sargent's food will be served in premium cabins on European flights. Barsotti is designing the domestic premium cabin menus, and Choi's food will be served on Hawaii routes. American Airlines Vice President of Global Marketing, Fern Fernandez, says the menus will feature local and seasonal ingredients. American Airlines will utilize kitchens in travel hubs like New York, Los Angeles, and Miami to step up sourcing. American Airlines will use products representative of the cities that we fly from. So imagine roasted spaghetti squash with vegetarian meatball or coconut lobster on your plate the next time you fly. Well, new airport scanners could speed up security lines. New luggage and body scanners are being tested at Singapore's Changi Airport. The new hand luggage screening system uses computer topography to produce 3D images of scanned items instead of two-dimensional versions, which means passengers traveling with laptops and tablets will no longer need to remove them from their carry-ons. In addition, a new automated tray system means you don't have to wait for airport employees to return the bins. This new automated system is estimated to speed up the scanning process by 20%. The hand luggage trays are also larger, which will reduce the number of trays needed per passenger. The new body scanners are an improvement on the current anatomically specific images that have been heavily criticized. The new scanners will instead produce an image of a stick figure and will highlight metallic and non-metallic items on a passenger. The trial period for the new scanner systems will run until June with no specific timeline for actual implementation. Hopefully, these new systems will be effective and in airports worldwide to save us all time and aggravation. Well, there's concern for the Zika virus this season. Remember the Zika virus that's carried by the mosquito? Well, this mosquito is responsible for spreading yellow fever, dengue virus, and chikungunya virus. The Zika virus is also spread by a mosquito known as the Asian tiger mosquito, commonly found in the northern states. Well, as higher temperatures approach, the United States is becoming very concerned with the Zika virus and fear that it's going to be extremely high. The concern is that the rainy season in Central America and the Caribbean could increase the number of imported cases. The number of travelers coming into the United States with the Zika virus is extremely high. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Institutes of Health, and their parent Department of Health and Human Services say they need money for advanced Zika tests and for research on treatments to help develop a vaccine. A vaccine has already been created for yellow fever, but no vaccine created to protect us against Zika, dengue, or chikungunya. There's also been several outbreaks of dengue and chikungunya in the southern United States, and President Obama has asked for $1.9 billion in emergency funding for the work. Using the regular appropriations process can be extremely slow, and this situation needs fast action. The Italian government is spending $1 billion in restoring its monuments and ancient sites. The Italian government has embarked upon its biggest restoration investment in decades. The total investment will be 1 billion euros, or the equivalent of $1.15 billion in U.S. dollars, to repair 33 monuments, museums, and ancient sites throughout the country. Some of the sites earmarked for restoration include the Roman ruins in Pompeii, the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, medieval churches in Bologna, and L'Aquila, a city in central Italy that was hit by an earthquake in 2009. Dario Franceschini, the culture minister, calls this restoration effort the biggest on Italy's cultural heritage since 1946. Have you ever been on a flight and saw a parent with a baby walking down the aisle, hoping they're not headed for the seat next to you? I know I certainly have. Well, JetBlue has come up with the most brilliant marketing scheme that may change your opinion and mine. In honor of mothers everywhere, JetBlue has created a way for passengers to tolerate crying babies. On a flight from New York's JFK Airport to Long Beach, California, the airline promised passengers 25% off their next JetBlue trip every time a baby cried on the plane, which means four cries would equal a free flight. The airline created a video titled Fly Babies, capturing relieved mothers and travelers who aren't as bothered by the noise after hearing about the promotion. JetBlue is also sending a message that traveling with kids isn't easy. So try to have a little compassion for parents with crying children. And when all else fails, remember, you can always put on those headphones. Sometimes a cheap ticket is not all what it's cracked up to be, especially if it's with the wrong airline for your personal priorities. Sitting 10 seats where there was once 9 is not only the measure of cost saving that travelers should consider, there are many more egregious factors to consider when booking your next flight. Airlines have become very creative to cut weight and cut more room. Frontier Airlines recently miniaturized their seatback tables, equivalent to the size of an iPad. The tables are stationary. Using the table to complete any in-flight work will be difficult, being there is barely enough room for your cell phone and a drink. If you have TSA PreCheck status, it's not honored on Spirit, Frontier, or WOW Airlines. And to keep fares low and save costs, they haven't updated their systems to comply with the program. Frequent flyers on business trips, beware of the airlines that cut Wi-Fi to save money. Spirit, Allegiant, and Hawaiian Airlines don't offer it. If you prefer comfortable seating throughout your flight, avoid Spirit Airlines. They offer an industry-worst 28-inch seat pitch between the back of your seat and the front, and seats do not recline. Low-cost airlines like Spirit and Frontier toss in numerous fees, charging for everything from printing your boarding pass to a $60 penalty for not paying for your carry-on online. Being frugal is honorable, but if not cautious, you may actually lose money paying for all those hidden fees, not to mention being uncomfortable at 30,000 feet in the air. Well, that's all the travel news I've got for you today, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll have Javon's Travel Minute, Morel Howard and I on budgeting for your vacation, and the question of the week. I'm Javon Harley, and this is the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati is all about the style and culture of travel. Make sure you visit the website. It's travelingculturati.com. Why? Because you can find a whole world of fantastic things there.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
While the process and hiccups of air travel is enough to give you a headache before you even step foot onto an aircraft, there is a headache that is caused by flying itself. It's known as an aviation headache or aerosinusitis. It can be caused by the change in altitude when a plane ascends and descends. Inflammation in the paranasal sinus cavities is caused by a difference in air pressures inside and outside the body. That difference in pressure may also cause blood vessels in the body to dilate, which can then lead to a headache. Headaches can also be brought on by other factors like dehydration, dry air, unpleasant odors, and stress. To combat the possibility of a headache, especially those prone to them, take preemptive measures like an ibuprofen before you fly. Avoid alcoholic beverages, especially the dark ones and sugary ones. Stay hydrated and get enough sleep beforehand. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. But I do have to admit to you that I don't always practice what I preach, because as soon as they ask me what would you like to have, I order a glass of champagne or wine. So I just make sure I drink a lot more water to wash it down and to help with the hydration. Laurel's laughing at me, but it's true. It's true. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there's some vices I just cannot shake. Wine or champagne is one of them, especially if it's in the vicinity. Anyway, we're all looking for ways to manage our budgets, to do the things we want to do, and travel is no different. So today, Morel Howard, our pre- and post-travel tips blogger, is on with me to give you some tips on creating a travel budget before your trip and how to manage your budget when you return. Hello, Morel, and welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
Got the giggles today.
Yes, we do.
Honestly, we're drinking tea, not wine.
Not quite, yes.
No, it only has honey in it,
yes,
I promise you. Well, you know, that's the number one thing. A lot of times people say, I can't afford to travel, or it's not in my budget, or I wish I could afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason we really wanted to talk about this today, because you can afford it.
You sure can.
You really can. You just need to do some things in advance to take care of it. So what goes into creating a travel budget?
The first thing that goes into creating a travel budget is you're actually going to make the preparations like you're actually going on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're going on a cruise, if you're going on a weekend, just a quick short weekend getaway, if you're traveling to Europe, no matter where you're going, whatever your trip itinerary is, you want to take that total dollar amount, including all of your travel expenses that go into it, your incidentals, your spending money every single day. Travel insurance is very important to you as well. Tours and excursions, taxis, you want to take the entire budget for your trip from beginning to end, and then you will divide it by the number of months from the day that you plan your trip and you put your deposit until the day that you leave, and that is your travel budget. That's what you set aside every single month in order to go on your trip, in order to have a wonderful time, so you can afford it. You really can.
And you know, that's very important, because I think a lot of times people try to get there as cheaply or inexpensively as they possibly can without thinking about the day-to-day and your food and beverage.
Yes.
And so then you get there and you can't enjoy it because you didn't budget for your trip itself.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Factoring in all of those things, what is it going to cost you to eat every day?
Exactly.
And I'm glad you brought up traveler's insurance because that's so important.
It's very important.
You've saved this money, and if you're on a tight budget, you don't want to risk that investment to non-refundable fees.
Exactly, because people say, well, I'm going to go on my trip. I don't need travel insurance. It's more than just you going on your trip.
Take that total, divide it by 12, and make sure you leave in time for you to book your trip and
exactly.
Okay.
So if you're going, so we're in the fifth month of the year. So if you're going in December, there's 12 months. So that's 7 months that you have to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your $5,000 trip and you divide it by 7 months, and that's how much money you put aside every single month for your trip.
Okay. Well, once you've created that travel budget, how do you begin to save? Because that's the biggest thing, I think, for a lot of people.
It is. It's really simple. So the first thing is to have a dedicated savings account. And you could get that already at your existing financial institution. So that's how you begin to save. So you, in addition to opening up the savings account, every time that you get paid, consider that a line item on your monthly bills. You have that money automatically transferred over. So you're not seeing the money. You're not touching it. The moment that your direct deposit hits your account, it's going into your travel fund account.
Is there a particular app that you like that would really help you in creating and managing that budget?
Yes. This is one of my favorite apps. It is called SmartyPig. And I honestly think it is better than having an extra savings account. It is an actual account that you can set aside for a specific event or goal, i.e. a wedding or a honeymoon or anniversary or your travel. In addition to that, you can set your actual dollar amount goal that's on the app. Automatic transfers are going to come out immediately from your account directly into the account that you set up with SmartyPig. The money will be transferred over. And one of the best parts about this is you can continue to add money to it. Your family and friends can add money to it. It's compatible with social media because SmartyPig is online, so someone can go. You can send a link from Facebook, and they can go over and add to your account if you wanted to as well.
GoFundMe.
Yes, exactly. They have amazing competitive rates. As far as the competitive interest rates, you get that back. It is FDIC approved, and it insures all of your money. And the best part about it is absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a dime to go online.
And it works directly with your own bank.
It works directly with your own bank, absolutely.
You know, that's fantastic, because here's something else you can do, because I'm having light bulbs going off over here, that you can tell your friends and family that when Christmas and your birthday comes around, it's like, don't buy me a gift. GoFundMe.
Yes, exactly.
Use my app.
Exactly.
And sponsor me.
Sponsor you. Yes, that's probably, that could be a part of your travel grant for your family and friends. Grandma and grandpa, people do that all the time for weddings.
They do.
Instead of giving gifts, they contribute to their honeymoon. So why not do it for your trip? Two more things about this app that's great as well. When redeeming your money, it can be transferred back into your account, or you can have two other options. You can go ahead and get travel company cards, i.e. a Travelocity. So if you're going, you can actually buy a Travelocity card and with no interest included in that, no app fees.
A gift card.
A gift card, and you can use it per your trip. In addition to that too as well, remember in the very beginning, I said include all your incidentals, all your toiletries. You can get other gift cards, i.e. from Macy's and Target and Walmart. You can get that, because remember, that's already included, so you're going to have to buy toiletries. So go ahead and get a $50 Target gift card and use that for Target for your toiletries.
Wow, I love that. Thanks for that tip. Now, what about rewards programs?
This is the perfect time for all that time that you've been flying in the air up there. You want to utilize those points before they expire. So from your mileage points, from your air, from your Marriott's rewards points, from your hotel, from your credit card, they actually have credit card travel points. Utilize all of those for this trip. That way it'll offset, it can supplement some of those costs that you already have, and then you can redeem points. Not only will you redeem points, but you can also sometimes get free hotel nights, say, get free air, and sometimes you can even get cash incentives back to you when you utilize your points. And the awesome part about that is sometimes with using those points, with you traveling because you've already used your card for that, you can get some of those points back.
Sometimes people think that if they don't have enough points to completely pay for something, then they just don't have enough points, but it's not true. Mm-hmm. You can do several things. You can, with hotels, for example, it may pay for part of it, maybe one night or two nights are free, or hotels sometimes allow you to use it for amenities. So you can maybe breakfast included or a spa treatment or something like that. And then with the airlines, you can buy extra points.
Sure can.
To go towards your, to buy extra miles in order to earn a free trip. And it's a lot less expensive than buying an airline ticket. So if you have some miles, it may only cost you $25 or $50 to get enough miles to get a ticket.
A free ticket.
And then with the credit cards, what's great about those, when you attach them to an airline reward program, you then start getting points on all of your purchases. And for some people, you may not be traveling or flying enough to accumulate enough miles. And so every time you use that card, it's going to help you earn points.
That is true.
What are other ways you can find money?
A couple of ways. You can completely cut back. Reevaluate your cell phone plan as far as your cable is concerned. Downgrade to something standard instead of premium, or just cut it out completely. Renegotiate your, again, your mobile plan or your car insurance, your internet plan. Completely cut out all leisure activities. There are going to be some sacrifices that you're going to have to make, but as long as you keep your eye on the prize, the main goal is at the end of the year, you're wanting to go on that trip.
One thing that you said is revisiting those bills that you currently have. A lot of times we are just paying those bills and we don't realize that we could be saving on the same bills we already have. Think of ways that you can lower your monthly bills.
Exactly.
And that's a way to find
it's
that money.
It's a good rule of practice. Am I tipping you in the right direction? Now, I know Game of Thrones and HBO just came out 2 weeks ago. I know we all want to be front and center to see if Jon Snow is going to come back, that type of thing. But you're paying an additional $15 to $20 per month just for that one channel, for that one show. Instead of doing that, go to a friend's house and watch it, or completely cut it out. Netflix is the standard. The standard package for Netflix is only $7.99, and if you go by the end of this month, they have a one month free. So you're instantly cutting that in over half. You got a free first month, and that's money that you can put into your travel fund for your trip.
And you can get a lot of those programs on Netflix.
You sure can.
You may be a season late, but
you can get it. At least you'll get to have something new to talk about on your trip.
Exactly.
One other major thing that I love, tipping you in the right direction, is called The Jar. And what I mean by The Jar is just a mason jar, an old coffee cup jar that you dump all of your extra change into. Every penny counts. So all extra change in your pockets and couch cushions, that type of thing. If you go out and you spend a dollar, you have that change, put that in there, because all of that will begin to add up. And it's not just the jiggly kind. You could put the folded kind in there too as well. That will go a long way as well.
Singles and change. That's what we're going to call it. Singles and change. And we're going old school. We're going to bring out that old jar and put it in there. But those things do add up. Mm-hmm. And then once a month, take it to the bank and put it into that account.
Yeah,
and sometimes we need to be reminded of some of these old school practices because they do work. Later on, I'm going to talk about some ways to save money while you're on your trip. But Morel has some wonderful tips about what to do when you return as well. So you've gone on your trip. You've planned for it. So now you have successfully gone on vacation. What are some of those checks and balances that you can do when you return?
You want to make sure, actually, while you're on your trip, to collect all your receipts. And you want to do a checks and balances to see if you stayed on budget, if you went over budget. So that's very important too as well, because remember, you had a budget, because in the very beginning, every single day. So you want to see if you dipped into Saturday's budget on Friday, or if you just actually stayed on budget and you had some extra money left over, which will always be great. You want to reconcile your credit cards as well. You want to see how many rewards points that you've gotten, because remember, you're using that card, that your travel card.
Yeah, and I tell you, once you have that travel bug, and once you realize that you can take a vacation and you can make it happen financially, you want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So now how do you prepare for next year's trip?
You want to create a new monthly budget. So one of the things that I have is for a rule of practice, because you've already on the system of cutting back and cutting costs and things of that nature, you kind of maybe want to continue to do that because you know you can do it. And then it's exciting, like, you know, I'm looking forward for my next trip now.
Yeah.
So you want to redo your new monthly budget, your new norm. Continue to cut out, leave some of the things out that you have. You can splurge, or another thing too is called extra extra. So if you stayed on budget or you didn't meet your budget every single day, you want to take that additional money and you want to do two things. The first part is you want to begin to pay back all your credit cards with that extra money that you have.
Yeah, immediately let your friends and family know that your app is now open.
Yes, yes. Send it over to them.
And ready for contributions.
Yes.
Absolutely. And those are some great, great tips. I'm not one to just travel completely on a budget. Mm-hmm. There are always some splurges that I like, and I find ways to do them. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm a foodie, so I love eating out and I love exploring restaurants and sometimes the chef's restaurants. But what I find is when you go at lunchtime, it's a lot less expensive than at dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a lot more enjoyable. They have lunch menus sometimes, maybe prefix menus that are less expensive, or I go to the bar and enjoy a lot of their appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same restaurant, and sometimes they have those happy hour specials.
Bar menu, favorite place of mine.
And the bar menu is typically great.
And it is.
You can try different things.
You sure can. You can make a meal off of small appertisers, so that is a great idea, and it's delicious too as well.
And don't forget about some of your association discounts. I know a lot of us are now over 50, and once that occurs, you get that AARP card. And at first, I didn't want it until I realized all the discounts.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, bring on the discounts.
Mm-hmm.
And AARP, they do have a lot of discounts.
They have great discounts
at hotels, for transportation, restaurants, department stores. So you want to consider those things. Also, ask the concierge for those discount booklets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them may be very touristy things, but that's okay if you're saving money. You sometimes can get two for one deals in there.
Mm-hmm.
And those concierge employees will really know mm-hmm. where to find those deals and bargains. You just tell them what your budget is, mm-hmm. and they'll help you.
They sure will.
Because if you don't tell them, they may steer you in a different direction.
Exactly.
But if you tell them exactly what you're looking for mm-hmm. and what kind of budget you're working with, mm-hmm. then they can make sure that you stay
that
within
true.
That. Another thing you can do, especially if you're traveling domestically,
mm-hmm.
is if you're on Groupon or Living Social, mm-hmm. you can use those in other cities.
That is
just
true.
Just sign on to those.
That's
put
true.
In the city that you're visiting.
Never thought
and
about
you can
that.
Groupon or Living Social coupons mm-hmm. ahead of time for massages, for meals, for
idea.
Local attractions,
mm-hmm.
events and activities. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great way to save because they do have a lot of great deals. Also think about going local because the locals know where
exactly.
the bargains are.
The best food is not on the main street. It's the place around the corner that looks dark.
Yeah. Or just, you know, when you're out and about, mm-hmm. are you from here? Oh, what's a nice place to go mm-hmm. for breakfast? Mm-hmm. Or what's a nice place to go for lunch mm-hmm. or for dinner? And locals are their own ambassadors. They
sure.
love to give you hints and information and tell you about
mm-hmm.
their favorites for mm-hmm. their city. And especially for breakfast, I find that it's great. I know it's convenient to have breakfast at your hotel, but I can tell you when you go out to a local place, even if it's a little coffee place
mm-hmm.
and have a nice little breakfast and your coffee and you sit and do some people watching,
mm-hmm.
you can really find the culture of a city
mm-hmm.
there. So those are some great things that you want to do. Now, if your hotel has or your accommodations has a kitchen,
mm-hmm.
then go to the grocery
yes.
store and buy your own breakfast things. But also at the grocery store, whether you have a kitchen or not,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure that you buy those basics and those necessities
mm-hmm.
like water.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
also snacks and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
I'm a mad snacker too as well. I have to keep something in my purse to snibble on.
Yeah, but it also keeps the hunger away
mm-hmm.
so you're not as likely to overspend
mm-hmm.
on food because you're in a situation where you're hungry and you're just buying something
mm-hmm.
when you have those snacks that'll take you to
mm-hmm.
the next meal
mm-hmm.
and then make it worth your while.
Yeah.
Make it worth your budget.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that people get a little crazy about, especially internationally, is communication.
Mm-hmm.
How do I stay connected
mm-hmm.
with email, with phone calls,
mm-hmm.
and with social media without breaking the bank?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a couple of things. You can contact your cellular service or your cellular provider before
mm-hmm.
you leave, and you can add the international plan.
That's true.
Just use that for emergencies,
mm-hmm.
but make sure you know your plan.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I use, I got because they have a very strong international plan,
uh-huh.
but some do not, and it can be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So know what that plan
exactly.
is for texting, for data,
exactly.
and for phone calls. And you may only need it for emergencies,
exactly.
but you do need some form
mm-hmm.
of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do is don't get rid of your old phone. Keep your old cellular phone and have it unlocked because once you've paid for it,
mm-hmm.
it's yours. You can contact your service provider and ask them to unlock your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's unlocked, then you can put in a SIM card from anywhere.
Oh.
And so you can buy a SIM card at any destination and put it in your phone. And you can get them for data or just for phone calls
mm-hmm.
and text messages.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. And that's a great way to save.
That is
and
true.
Skype is still around too. Well, we hope that we have given you inspiration and some tips that you can use to make sure that you take that
mm-hmm.
vacation. It is for medicinal purposes. They say the one thing people regret when they get older that they did not do was travel. So make
enough.
Sure that that's not on your list. Make sure you go ahead and travel. You can make it happen, even if you're on
yes, you
a
can.
Tight budget.
Sure
so, Morel, again, thank you for joining
you're
me
welcome.
Today
My
and helping
pleasure.
Us with those great, great vacation budget tips. The Department of Transportation reported that over 800 million passengers took to the skies last year. That's over 2 million passengers per day. So we wanted to know where all this traffic was happening. What's the world's busiest airport? Do you know? Well, Mo took to the streets to see.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who do I have here with me today?
Jeff Traylor.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm all right. I can't complain.
All right. Well, can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you travel much?
Not really. I don't have the funds to do that.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully you'll be able to get those funds stacked real soon. But I'm going to ask you a question, though. Maybe you still know the answer.
All right, let's go.
What is the world's busiest airport?
Is it JFK or O'Hare Airport?
You would think maybe JFK or O'Hare, but that is not the right answer.
Which one is it?
Can't tell you. Traveling Coach Arati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And who do I have here with me today?
I'm Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good.
Kevin, do you travel a lot?
Sometimes.
Well, can I ask you a traveling question?
Of course.
Can you tell me the world's busiest airport?
Oh, I know. Chicago?
Chicago is not the world's busiest airport. I'm so sorry, Kevin.
Was I close?
Kind of. Traveling Coach Roddy with your girl, Mo, always on the go, and I am here with...
Chris Boogie.
All right, Chris Boogie. Do you travel a lot?
Suddenly.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Can you tell me the world's busiest airport?
This is LaGuardia. That's in Queens. LaGuardia? Yeah, obviously LaGuardia.
Okay, well, it is not LaGuardia, Chris, but that was a good try. Thank you. Those were some really good guesses, but no one seems to know the correct answer on where the world's busiest airport is located. Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo, always on the go. Back to you, Javon.
Thanks, Mo. The world's busiest airport by passengers has won this title for the last 15 years. But before we announce which airport holds this title, here are the top five. Number five is Japan's Tokyo International Airport, with 75,316,718 passengers. Number four is Chicago O'Hare's International Airport, with 76,949,504 passengers. Number three, Dubai International Airport, 78,010,265 passengers. China's Beijing Capital International Airport, with 89,938,628 passengers. And, drumroll please, the number one busiest airport in the world for the 15th year in a row is right here in the United States. Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, with 101,491,106 passengers. You are in the know on the world's busiest airport for 2015. When we come back, we've got the culture report on Guatemala. I'm Javon Harley on the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices Sirius XM Channel 141. Javon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coast, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane.